Here we are on the second Sunday of Lent, and the gospel passage you just heard is the gospel passage that we always hear on this Sunday, that of the transfiguration of our Lord. But it has a particular purpose, a particular reason. You recall what we are reflecting on in a particular way during the season of Lent. And the first thing you're probably going to think is, well, here we go, another sermon on penance, mortification, and fasting. No, there's something more. There's the reason. We're also reflecting on the very act of our redemption. That is the passion and death of our Lord. And in fact, just before this episode took place, not long before, our Lord had already begun predicting to his disciples that he was to undergo his passion and death and be raised from the dead. He already began speaking of it. And you can imagine what the response of the disciples was when he began speaking of it. What? You're going to be beaten, you're going to be scourged, you're going to be put to death? Never. They were repulsed by that. It also brings on a certain terror, doesn't it? I think here he is talking about his own passion and death, and a horrible one at that. Of course, he also mentioned his being raised from the dead, which didn't quite click what he was talking about there. But anyways, later on, they would find out. But for now, the passion and death of our Lord, which is a very striking thing. Right? It's a tremendous thing. And here we come to the reason why our Lord was transfigured before his three chosen ones of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. But it serves that purpose for us as well. And that is to give a foretaste of his glory, of his divinity. We might say his divine glory to those who are about to undergo the tremendous terror of the passion and death. In fact, as we know, at the agony of our Lord in the garden, which these three were present, these same three, what happened? Remember, they all fled, except for one. They all fled. It was a terrific thing. It was a terrible thing to watch. So our Lord here is preparing them for what they're about to undergo. It's going to be a terrific trial, a test. A test of their faith above all. So it is for us as well. Here he is giving us this glimpse, a little glimpse of his divinity, of his divine glory, in order to prepare ourselves for that suffering that we must all go. In fact, we're seeing that also as the theme basically of the other two readings. The suffering that we must go and undergo, bear your share of the hardship for the gospel, he says St. Paul to Timothy. I think in another trial and selection they actually use the word sufferings, but anyways. And the first reading is also of that same theme. The trial, the difficulty that we all must undergo in our pilgrimage of faith, our journey of faith, every one of us. But yet, at the same time, at the other end of that pilgrimage, at the final end, at the goal, there is the great hope. That's what God is trying to prepare us for here, our Lord is preparing us for here. That hope of eternal life, if we do remain faithful. Reminds me of the El Camino Real that you have in Spain, that exists in Spain. Actually it's El Camino de Santiago y Compostela, sorry. Right? It's a way you walk from the French Pyrenees. You go across the border down along the northern part of Spain, towards about the center, the northern part there to Compostela, which is the town that is dedicated to Saint James the Apostle. And you go into the cathedral there. You walk all the way. It takes several days. You walk a full day's journey each day, And then you find whatever place you can to rest. You rest for the night, eat, etc., take care of yourself, and then you continue the next day. And you just walk all day. It's a long, arduous journey, mostly through mountains. So it's not an easy walk. Right? And you walk one day, the first day, you walk whole day. And you find you're going to begin to feel it a little bit at the end of the day. And each day it gets worse and worse. Right? I mean, it's a hard journey. It's not easy. Yet this is what you do, and at the end you get a certificate saying you've completed the way, okay, etc. And you have the chance to participate in the services at the great Cathedral of Compostela. But in any case, it's a long, arduous journey. And when you go on a long journey like that, particularly when you're on following mountain paths, there's always risk of falling, okay? Risk of falling away, or even if he just gets too tired to keep on going, then he's finished that journey. Okay? It's not easy. Well, that's what our journey of faith is. Right? We have to exercise our faith, because it's all about faith. Right? Something that we do not actually see, but we know it's there, where it's revealed to us. That is paradise, heaven. It's there. God is there watching over us. And that's what our journey is towards Him, towards that goal, paradise, which is something eternal, we must also remind ourselves. Once we get there, it will never end. And it's a great joy, a great glory that will never end. An eternal daytime, as it were, eternal light. No more darkness, no more evil, no more fears, right? That's heaven. That's union with God. There's always, along the way, the great risk. Particularly if we begin to take, we find we have what we need and we begin to take it for granted and we don't even stop to think anymore. The great risk of falling. And then what happens? We lose that goal. We lose paradise. And that too is for all eternity. We call that hell. And that's for all eternity. There'll be no end. Now you have eternal misery. Eternal hate, if you can imagine. Realizing it's your own fault that you're here. If you go that way, it's your own fault. You turned away. Right? That's what sin is. We turn away. So there's always that great risk, but there's always, and this is the whole purpose of the Transfiguration, to see there's always that hope that if we will remain faithful, we will achieve that goal. Now, are we going to be able to achieve that goal on our own? No, we never make it. But with the grace of God, not only can we will. But we must seek it continually, unhesitatingly, throughout that journey. That means throughout our lives, our whole lives here on earth. Continually seek that grace, and we can't slacken at any moment in our prayer, all right, in our mortifications, etc. We cannot slacken. The moment we do, the moment we say, we've reached a good point, now I can stop here, is the moment we start falling. We start going backwards. So we can never stop. We can never think we've reached a good, satisfactory point and now we can stop. We must continue always. We must carry on. But with, again, that great hope. That's why our Lord appeared to them in His glory. And that's what it was, a slight just glimpse. We couldn't have handled any more than that. In this life, it's not possible. But at least that slight glimpse of that glory, right? That by the following of the prophets and the law, Moses represented the law, Elias the prophets, the prophecies, we can achieve that end. And do you know what Moses and Elias were talking about with our Lord? I'm just reading just a few minutes before coming down for Mass. Turns out it's actually explicit, I believe, in St. Luke. When he recounts this episode. And we're talking about the passion and death our Lord was about to undergo. Our Lord was making that journey, not a journey of faith. He doesn't need faith. He is God Himself. He's already there. But He was to undergo the same suffering, the trials, the difficulties on earth that we do. In His humanity, He did. So He's doing it before us and He's showing us the way. We need only follow. And that's really what the Father is telling us in that cloud, which is very representative of, alludes to the cloud that guided the Israelites on their journey in Israel, in the desert, en route to the Promised Land. The cloud of fire by night and the cloud of, and the cloud column of the cloud during the day. He is always there, but what does the God, what does the Father say? It overshadows them. They're in terror when they hear the voice. I think any one of us would be also. All right. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. We need only follow him. But it tells us, again, there's always that hope, and we must never give it up, ever. Even no matter how hard it becomes, we must never give up. We must carry on. And if we will, with the grace of God, with the grace of our Lord, we will hear him, we will follow him. And that's what we must do. We will win that victory. We will achieve that union with God, the great glory, the great light of paradise. That will never end. Praise be Jesus and Mary.